Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Smendra Paul, Program Manager for the Information Sharing Environment. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Melinda Bouthrop. So, Smendra, we discussed before, and I'd like to get your insights again on your efforts to create a culture of sharing. And would you tell us how you're sort of doing that and changing the culture of this is mine to this is ours?
So the efforts in the past have had a primary focus on individual culture, right? Inculcating the idea that responsible information sharing is everybody's job, and we're still continuing that. One of the priority objectives out of the new national strategy the president just released is to training and as to fulfill that, we're going to be updating our ISE information sharing environment core awareness training. And those updates will include more weight on the safeguarding side, right, sharing and safeguarding, the shared risk management ideas we talked about earlier. But the primary thing we're doing is a focus on organizational change, and the way we're trying to drive that is through a focus on accountability and performance management, right? So you get the result you manage for. This is something that, you know, really is an observation, transcends information sharing. You know, we exist in a stovepiped world in terms of the public sector. And we do a better job managing specific programs, and most of those programs, you know, react to that management pressure and improve as point programs. But when you try to do a cross-cut, you know, going across an agency is hard enough, going across the federal government, going across communities, going across levels of government into the private sector, you know, that's the world we live in. So it's critical to have an authoritative, accepted view on performance and our folks following through on commitments and things like that. So the annual report to Congress that we just issued, which, you know, again, you can find on our website, www.ise.gov, it's pretty exhaustive. And, you know, some tease me that it's exhausting. I don't feel that way. But the reason it's the way it is because it is the capstone of our performance management activities. So it's not just a report to Congress. It serves that purpose, but it's also a transparent and authoritative assessment of how we're doing that anchors in what we said we were going to do last year, that talks about specific gaps, both granular level gaps that are agency specific, as well as systemic challenges. And it talks about the commitments we're making as a government over the next 12 months that we're going to report on again next year. I think this is worth dwelling on in the context of the open government movement. Yes. Right? President Obama, first day in office, signed out the open government memo, the open government policy. Government's going to be transparent, participatory, collaborative. Incredible transparency at the heart of the counterterrorism homeland security enterprise. Participation, right? We've got involvement from a variety of different folks, industry, state and local, you know, federal players at all levels. And then collaborative, this idea of whole of government is really at the heart of what we do. So it's a different view on open government, but fully embracing those principles.
I think we'd all agree that the recent information breaches and disclosures highlight vulnerabilities in the protection of sensitive and classified information. As a result, sharing and safeguarding information has become increasingly important. Would you describe key achievements over the past year in safeguarding the capabilities that most directly relate to the advancement of information sharing? And from your perspective, what is being done to drive improvements in this area?
So you're right. The unauthorized disclosures to the media of classified information create huge damage and are really very, very troublesome. The things that we've done over the last little while since the last report include furthering identity management type activities. Again, it's the idea that sharing and safeguarding are two sides of the same coin. So to the extent we can do a better job on identity management and that identity works across boundaries on a security fabric, whether it's at the sensitive and unclassified level or in the classified fabrics, it increases our security posture. Removable media. We've made advances in terms of demonstrably implementing removable media policy that have been around for a while. So there's the annual report talks about some of these things. I think that there's also, you know, a cross-agency performance goal around cybersecurity, right, that also is published every quarter that has some metrics around where we are with the different initiatives around continuous monitoring and identity and access control. And so there's been some movement there, but a real focus on doing more in terms of that.
Would you share your efforts to balance information needs with civil liberties and compliance activities? What are the specific challenges being faced and what progress has been made? And from your view, again, what more needs to be done?
So in the last year, federal agencies have closed a substantial gap in terms of basic privacy policies that are as comprehensive as the president's ISE privacy guidelines. So in last year's report, we talked about how the state and local community had closed that gap as it related to the National Network of Fusion Centers. And a big driver on that last year was special condition language on grants going out. In the last couple of years, we put a big focus on getting the last few agencies, and we're almost there in terms of federal agencies having the privacy policies in place. The one that doesn't, they have policies in place. This is more of a technical discussion about those policies versus an ISE-specific policy. So, you know, we feel pretty good about where we are in that regard. There is a shift now where we're looking at more about privacy policy automation and compliance, right? So we think that, you know, having the basics of the policies is good, and that's important. Now we need to make sure that there's views on compliance, right, so which involves inspections or audit or peer reviews, and then moving towards automation, right? And we think that's really the future here. And that's critical from an information sharing perspective. Right now, when you have sensitive information, I hate to say it, but most of the state of the art here is individual point-to-point information sharing agreements with handcrafted arrangements around privacy, security, right? So we want to, you know, we want to move towards having more of a multilateral approach with more common policy requirements that are more formalized and automatable. So we're working that.
Continuing down that path, would you tell us more about your efforts to improve oversight and mature the management functions that support information sharing and safeguarding? To what extent do your efforts involve aligning governance bodies, managing performance, training, and developing incentives for information sharing and safeguarding throughout the ISE? Are there opportunities for improvement?
There are opportunities for improvement, but we've done a lot. We actually, and I've talked a little bit about the performance management focus of the office, so we really see that as critical. And one of the initiatives that we've been driving to improve the processes and to improve, make it easier for agencies to understand, you know, how to work with us and how to potentially improve their internal activities is an ISE management plan. So again, this is a early stage activity where we're trying to take the next step in terms of process improvement. So we've been operating for a number of years with agencies, with key mission partners across a variety of different areas. But we saw now the time to try to document, standardize, and improve those processes in alignment with strategic management processes anchored at OMB. So let me give you some examples. We issue implementation guidance anchored in programmatic guidance that comes out of the White House on an annual basis. It's part of our annual performance cycle. The White House considers the National Strategy for Information Sharing and Safeguarding as programmatic guidance, okay, right? So that's the capstone now, and it's been formalized in this context of strategy. Went through an interagency process, everybody bought into it. We're using our implementation guidance to provide control milestones for implementing the 16 priority objectives, right? So we've gone through a collaborative consensus process with our, you know, mission partners, developed an initial round, and have issued that as implementation guidance. Now we're looking to fill in the priority objectives where there was some additional work needed to get to a clean baseline and then enrich those plans. So we have a basic baseline, and we're looking to improve it, enhance it, and maintain it year over year. So these are some of the, you know, kind of key performance tools. Goes back to the, you know, the goal number one, collective action through collaboration and accountability, right? So the collaboration defines what we're going to do. The accountability, have we done it? Do we have a process to understand that, right? So that's critical.
I'd like to keep on the whole management plan, and more particularly, how does having such a plan create or seek to create a unity of effort across government, and more particularly, how does it benefit stakeholders having such a plan?
Well, by having such a plan, it makes it easier for folks that are one step removed from our direct activities to understand what's happening, why it's happening, and how they can leverage these processes to their benefit, right? One of the key balances you got to strike, are you coming across or are you viewed as a tax, right, an unfunded mandate, or are you viewed as accelerating the mission or an avenue towards realizing efficiencies through pooling resources or as somebody that's bringing assets to the table, right? So, you know, having a plan like this increases transparency, makes it easier to collaborate, and, you know, when it's authoritative, it allows for folks to participate directly in, you know, the ISE by bringing in their resources and having a vehicle to pool.
When do you expect to release this plan, or has it been released?
We're working with the interagency right now in terms of some review cycles. We intend to, I think, through the fall, sometime later this fall, release the plan. I don't want to overplay it. It's sure. It's the process we take is to have the plan as a kernel, a seed, if you like, right? Then we want to plant it with agencies where we're already working, where we're already driving mission value, but look at it as a process improvement type idea. So it's going to be out, and people will find it on the website, but it'll be in the context of soliciting input and also making sure that the these pilot activities are transparent as sort of the way we want to operate more broadly, you know, going forward.
Mr. Major, you mentioned the ISE implementation guidance, and I want to actually explore that a little bit more, particularly what are the challenges faced with doing that and issuing that, and what lessons have you learned?
Yeah, so it is challenging. I think the key to understanding this is to understand that there's a blend of authorities here, and the blend of authorities is what gives this process the juice to work. So I have the authority to issue guidance, rules, standards given to me, not me personally, but the office through the Intelligence Reform Terrorism Prevention Act, Section 1016 that created the ISE. But I also co-chair the Information Sharing and Access Interagency Policy Committee with the National Security Staff. So the role of the IPC, it works under the PPD-1 or the Presidential Policy Directive 1. It defines how agencies coordinate, right? So this is the authoritative place for agencies to come together. We sit, you know, over in the White House complex and come to agreement on what it is we want to do. And that process is agency-based. Each of the 16 priority objectives has a agency-based stewardship, right? So the planning process happens in a collaborative way anchored in the agencies. So there's that natural tension about, you know, is PMISC telling an agency what to do or is the agency signing up? The agency has to sign up. It's got to be kind of transparent and open. Okay, so having a plan is great. But implementing it is the trick, right? So that's where the implementation guidance is very effective because we are able to take that consensus agreement, identify the control milestones, review that again with our stakeholders, but as an authoritative body, as with the subject matter expertise we have in this area, add some value to it, do the dependency analysis and that sort of thing, and then put it out there. And then there's the follow-up, or how are we doing? And the follow-up isn't gotcha. It's about, okay, where are we? You know, do we need a little more time? Right. All of this is, you know, planning. It's subject to availability of appropriations. Things happen, right? So, you know, we consistently work with our partners to, okay, you need a little more time, or you know, let's understand that. Let's talk about it. At least we're transparent about it. We're doing it as a group, and we're just moving these things forward. So, you know, if you look in the annual report, I've highlighted, you know, there's a table here and that highlights implementation guidance items that are completed, some that are not completed. There is another set of implementation guidance items that are still underway. So we're not really setting a baseline in the same way you baseline a program. This is at a higher level, right? When you baseline a program, you have the money. You have the appropriations, you have the requirements, you've worked through the issues. This is at a higher level, so the baseline we said isn't the same kind of thing. It's okay for things to shift at that level as long as it's transparent and managed. So that's what we help facilitate.
What does the future hold for the information sharing environment? We will ask Smedger Paul, Program Manager for ISE, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.